The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When John the Baptist heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Martin Luther had no time for the Epistle of James that we have heard a portion of this morning. He called it the Epistle of Straw, and he thought it got into the Bible by accident. And I have to say, hearing that particular portion this morning, I have a little bit of sympathy with Luther, because I feel like James is nagging us today. I don't know if you heard it, but three times, "Be patient, be patient, be an example of patience," he says. I don't know how many more times I can take being told to be patient. On this third Sunday of Advent, a lot of us are running a little thin on patience, after all. The kids have been wound up for weeks about Santa and presents coming. Parents are maybe about ready to lose it. And retailers are exhausted after starting the holiday shopping season at Halloween. I've heard more than one person express a longing for it just to be over. Christmas to be over. How sad. And now here's James telling us to be patient. But I have to say, he does offer the helpful example of the prophets who endured patient suffering. And today we don't have to go far to find a prophet. Isaiah sings his song of rejoicing. And it is today is Rejoice Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, we call it. Isaiah sings his song of rejoicing at a most unlikely time, a time when Israel was in exile, miserable and homeless. And yet he painted an idyllic picture of God's kingdom as a sign of faith in a time of despair. Isaiah gave his people a vision to grasp onto so that they could endure with patience. Speaking as if the bright, hoped-for future is a certainty is part of practicing patience. Isaiah doesn't say the desert might rejoice. He says it shall rejoice. He doesn't say the eyes of the blind may be opened, but that they shall be opened. And the psalmist likewise practices that faithful patience as he uses the present tense. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Even in the face of seeing those still bowed down, prisoners still behind bars. Faithful patience doesn't mean resignation to the evils of the present. It means having such a passionate commitment to God's promises that we speak as if those promises have already been fulfilled, even when all the evidence suggests the contrary. Patience means living in the now of God's kingdom, regardless of the muck and mess of the world around us. When John the Baptist, our New Testament prophet, is thrown into prison, he understandably starts to waver in his faith after a while. Whereas he had once pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God, now maybe he's not so sure. Jesus doesn't seem to be behaving like any Messiah the Jewish prophets had ever foretold. He eats with sinners. He ministers to Roman soldiers. He collaborates with the collaborators. He declines to keep strict kosher. So John sends his friends to ask Jesus, "Are you really the one?" And Jesus replies, echoing Isaiah's words, "See how the prophecy is being fulfilled," he seems to be saying. "What does the evidence tell you?" The patience of God's faithful people has at last been rewarded. John's mission is accomplished. He has pointed the way to the Messiah, and he has pointed his followers to Jesus. John, who's been a superstar evangelist and celebrity preacher on the banks of the Jordan, is no longer the focus for those seeking healing and redemption. The spotlight has now moved and rests squarely upon Jesus. John has been a good companion for us through these weeks of Advent, nurturing our patience as we await the Nativity, reminding us of the preparations we need to make if we are to welcome Jesus into our hearts. Jesus calls John God's messenger. The word is actually angel. An angel who has prepared the soil for the new planting. He has stirred Israel up to a fervor of longing and expectation. John's life story foreshadows that of Jesus. An unlikely birth accompanied by angels. A call to preach God's word. A stance outside of mainstream Judaism. Arrested for daring to confront the immorality of society's leaders and destined to be executed for his faithfulness. John's question from his prison cell resonates for us. Are you the one? It's not often that a voice from prison commands our attention. Usually those who are incarcerated lose their voice. They are rendered voiceless by the judicial system. It takes an especially compelling, articulate, and faithfully patient voice to penetrate the walls of society and of our hearts. Those who have spoken from their prison cells with prophetic truth, challenging questions, are among the giants of our faith. During World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote letters from prison, demonstrating steadfast faith and patience, even while he was under sentence of death, even while his prison was being repeatedly bombed by the Allies. Martin Luther King, jailed in Birmingham, wrote to his fellow clergymen, those wishy-washy, lukewarm moderates, saying, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny." He spoke of the patience of African Americans, the decades and centuries of obeying the advice to wait, to endure, to keep silent. He spoke of a long-suppressed yearning for freedom that must, sooner or later, find expression in an oppressed people. And of course, in our own day, Nelson Mandela served 27 years in prison and became an icon for the freedom of all South Africans, black and white, because he would not be silenced in his mission of confronting injustice. Jesus pays attention to the voice of the prisoner, just as he pays attention to all who suffer. He knows about patience, and we can relate that word patience to the noun, the patient who endures suffering. To be patient, to be a patient, is to suffer, to endure. This time of year is especially hard for those who have to endure. How do you celebrate the joy of the season if you have a loved one in prison or in hospital, if your job is in jeopardy or your future is uncertain? It's hard to be patient, to keep faith that the Messiah is near. And yet, the signs are there for us to see if we would but look. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the poor have good news brought to them in many, many ways. When our eyes are opened to the beauty of creation or of love, the eyes of the blind are opened. Jesus is near. When we are freed to walk the way God calls us along, the lame walk. Jesus is near. When those who've been shunned are welcomed into community, the prisoners are liberated. Jesus is near. When we reach out to serve those in need, to change the injustice of society, the poor have good news brought to them, and Jesus is near. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait patiently for another? Each of us needs to discover Jesus for ourselves. Our faithful patience is rewarded when we find him in our neighbors and in the life of the church. So be patient, and look for Jesus. Follow the examples of the prophets. Proclaim his coming with confidence and certainty. For as James says, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Amen.